Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry is a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
On May 21, 2011, when the rapture occurs, that's 5 times 10 times 17. Wow, that just fits perfectly.
With camping, it's very hard to get seriously because to be perfectly blunt, there's a kook element involved.
I don't expect everyone to understand this, but I'm a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. And that relationship is far more important to me than any political office.
Without these bold men who were not pastors confessing the faith, who knows where we would be today?
I'm Derek, the tea guy from Seward, Nebraska, who drives his truck through Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, and I rock Issues Etc. the whole way.
Well, in the long history of humanity, a lot of things have threatened to wipe us out. Usually man's inhumanity to man, but occasionally there was the plague and the terrible weather, and who knows. And there have been times when man has, at least in the region where he lives, had to struggle back from the brink of near extinction. But never, I think, in the history of mankind has man done it to himself by, what shall we call it, reproductive apathy or maybe a phobia over family, something like that. But here in the United States, we're barely at replacement levels. That means that, well, given enough time, the population dwindles down to where it cannot sustain itself any longer as a population. And we read that in Germany, the government there considers it necessary to subsidize in vitro fertilization to try and bring up the birth rate. We're going to be talking about that and another issue regarding births in Europe. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse joins us for the first 10 minutes of the program. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 18th of May. After our conversation with Jennifer, Dr. Joel Heck will join us for part two of a four-part weekly series we're doing on the Genesis creation account. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email right here in the studio. We get them in real time. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Love and Economics and Smart Sex. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
Did you ever think you'd see the day when a government would deem it necessary to subsidize or to make it easier to get in vitro fertilization to try and stem a plummeting birth rate?
Well, no, I never would have thought that we'd end up in such a place. You know, in one sense of the word, governments try to subsidize birth all the time, but only in an indirect way. In other words, they'll say, you know, we give allowances for people who have children. We have lower taxes for people who have children because we recognize there's a public benefit to that. But reducing your taxes is a different thing from actually giving you money, you know. And a number of countries now with low birth rates are trying to pay people. Russia has been trying to pay people to have babies. What's unique about the German situation here that you're talking about is that they're not just paying you to have babies. They're wanting to pay you to do it through IVF, through artificial means. And so what that means is that they're taking out the partner piece of this thing and basically saying it's okay and, in fact, desirable for you to have a baby with the help of a man in a little white suit rather than for you to have a baby with the help of just a man. So it's really quite a bizarre turn of events, I think.
It is. I mean, I know you're concerned about IVF because we really verge off of several precipices at the same time here, ethical and moral precipices, not only practical ones as well. What is your biggest concern about IVF?
Oh, you know, gosh, my biggest concern about IVF, you know, I just have this quirky idea that we really ought to leave our sperm and eggs inside our body until we're ready to use them, you know. And to separate your gametes from your person and then kind of put them out in the environment and mix them up somehow and end up with babies, you know, it's a little bit like taking the babies and throwing them up in the air and letting them land wherever, and that's who their parents are going to be, you know. There are just many troubling aspects to it, but I think the thing that's most troubling about the German case is that the reason they have a low birth rate is because people have already been in retreat from relationship, right? And so to subsidize IVF is to subsidize the very thing which is the ultimate cause of the thing, which is to say, have a baby without having a relationship. That's what the German government is going to pay you to do, have a baby without having a relationship. I didn't see anything in the report about putting restrictions on abortion, for example. You know, that would be another sort of thing you could do if you were worried about your birth rate, right? But I didn't see him talking about that. Now, maybe I missed it. But, you know, all of these trends, it seems to me, are pointing towards the same thing, which is that we've been retreating from relationship for a long time, and now all of a sudden we're seeing the negative consequences of that, but we're still not willing to retrace our steps and say, wait a second, maybe we went off the rail some time ago, and we need to go back and look at marriage and the union of a man and a woman. That generative aspect of the union of a man and a woman is something valuable and precious and worth preserving and celebrating. Nobody seems to be willing to do that, and I think that's quite odd.
There is also news out of the Netherlands having to do with a different birth issue, and that would be out of wedlock births. What do we know, and what are your concerns?
Well, you know, recently the Institute for Marriage and Public Policy put out a research brief, and I would really encourage people to get involved with the Institute for Marriage and Public Policy. That's an outfit that Maggie Gallagher started years ago before she ever got dragged into the political aspect of this stuff. But they recently put out a research brief on the 10th anniversary of Dutch same-sex marriage and how is marriage doing in the Netherlands. And so there are many numbers in that report, you know, obviously. But the thing that really jumped out at me that I thought we ought to talk about is the fact that in spite of everything and in spite of all the assurances that same-sex marriage is going to be a great thing, it's going to be the new motherhood and apple pie and so on, the out-of-wedlock birth rate continues to climb in the Netherlands. It's not so dire as we think it is, but still, the share of unmarried parents among people in their 20s and 30s rose from 8% to 22%. So they really are, they're trending in the wrong direction there in the Netherlands.
Is this more evidence of retreat from relationship that you mentioned before?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. In other words, people are not willing to commit. You know, if you're having a child and you're not, with somebody that you're not married to, it means that you're not committing to the child's other parent. And so, what I believe is true, what I believe all the evidence proves, what I believe is actually divinely ordained, is that the relationship between the mother and the father is the foundation for a child's life. Right? I mean, the platform on which all of our lives is built. Is our parents' relationship with one another, and that's why we care about marriage. That's why every child has an interest in the stability of their parents' union, because that's the foundation for your life. And so, what we've been saying as a society and as individuals is that we don't think that relationship matters. It's the kind of one-on-one relationship between each child, the parent, and each. Sorry, the child and each of the parents individually, without any attention to the fact that the parents could and should have a relationship with one another, and that in fact, a child's access to both parents is enhanced, is totally enhanced by them being on good terms with each other, right? So if your mom and dad don't get along, and they live in a separate state or something, you know, you're not going to get to have a relationship with both your parents. That's just how it follows. So all of this, I think, yes, is a retreat from relationship.
Two cautionary tales here that seem to fall in the category of just because you can do something doesn't mean you necessarily should do something. With about a minute here, make the case that marriage and family and children and childbearing all really best belong together.
Well, you know, marriage traditionally has united our sexual activity, our childbearing, and our spousal love all in one bundle. And so what we've been doing is separating those things out so that we have sex with somebody that we're not married to, we have children with somebody we're not married to, and maybe somebody we don't even have sex with. And so what's happening to us is that we're fragmenting ourselves, we're disintegrating ourselves, instead of marriage integrating all of those things, keeping everything in one coherent bundle, we've got it all flung out, you know, kind of separated out to the four winds, you know, and we're not able to have that kind of whole integrated approach. And I think that the most poignant way to see it is to see the impact on children whose parents have divorced and then remarried and had more children with their new spouses. Often that is a very pain-filled experience for the child of the original union, because that child comes to feel themselves and experiences themselves all too often as if they were a leftover from a previous relationship. And the new baby, instead of being a new part of the family, the new baby is a symbol of the fact that their mother and father will never get back together again. And kids shouldn't have to feel that way. Kids shouldn't have to look at new siblings that way, and they shouldn't have to wonder what's the stability of their family life going to be. So I think if you look at it from the child's point of view, you can see the value in integrating marriage and sex and spousal love and childbearing all in one package.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is founding president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's author of the books Love and Economics and Smart Sex. You'll find a link to the Ruth Institute and to their upcoming conference, It Takes a Village to Raise a Family. A family to raise a village, I believe. It takes a family to raise a village, under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Jennifer, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Todd. Bye-bye.
Well, when we come back, we'll turn back to Genesis chapter 1. We'll pick up where we left off in our series on the Genesis creation count. Dr. Joel Heck, author of The Issues Etc., Book of the Month for May, In the Beginning God, will be our guest.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Did God really create the world in 6 24-hour days? And what difference does it make? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is In the Beginning, God, Creation from God's Perspective. It's written by regular guest Dr. Joel Heck. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase In the Beginning, God, by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, In the Beginning, God.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.